Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your peace that has filled our hearts and minds. Thank you for all the helps we have received from you. Thank you for moving us forward on every side. Thank you for breakthroughs you have done in our lives. Be exalted forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all the truths we have learned from you, both personally and through the teachings we get here on this platform. Thank you for how you have made these truths to change our lives, to free us from all forms of captivity, of sin, and darkness. Thank you, Father. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for the equipment and edification we have gotten through the teaching of your word, through the revelation of your word. Thank you, Lord, for things that were impossible for us to achieve and attain before now, that you have made possible for us. In fact, you have done those things in our lives. Thank you, Father. Oh Lord, we have come together again to learn from you, to receive your word of truth, your word of light, your word of life. I ask that you speak to everyone that will be listening in the name of Jesus. Let your Holy Spirit take over this class. Let the truth be real in every heart and mind. Thank you, Father, because we know you will do more than our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We're going to continue from where we stopped. You know that we have been on part 4 of our Bible study theme. And the part 4 says, discerning the realms of witchcraft and demons. Discerning the realms of witchcraft and demons. The next topic under this part 4 that we will be looking at is discerning demonic possession and control in people. Discerning demonic possession and control in people. Now, we will be discussing on how you can easily know the place of demons in people around you and the control of demons in the lives of people around you. How you can easily know when someone, whether a friend, a neighbor, or even your parents or siblings, or even your children, how you can easily know when they are under demonic possession and control. Yeah, because anybody that has this human flesh, anybody with this human flesh that you and I have, can easily be possessed by demons and can easily be controlled by demons. Yeah, whether they are Christians or believers or ministers or pastors or apostles or general overseers, whoever they are, everyone that is in this body, this human body, is vulnerable and can be possessed by demons and controlled by demons. So which implies that the people around you, even you yourself, is not immune to these things, or is not left out of this matter. If you yield yourself to darkness, you will be possessed by demons. And not just that, you will be controlled and even used by demons. Yeah, so those are the things we will be looking at. Firstly, I'll give you an example in the scriptures. An example of someone who was possessed by demon or by demons and was controlled by demons. And as a matter of fact, this person is a believer. In fact, one of the disciples and apostles of Jesus. Let's look at Luke 22. I'm going to read verse 31 to 34. Luke 22:31-34. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." Yeah, Jesus was saying that, "Look here, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before you would have denied me three times." Yeah. So we saw that I mean, from this scripture, from this passage, we can see how Jesus, with his discerning spirit, have been able to know the state, or maybe I should say the spiritual condition of Peter, the state of Peter's spirit, the state of Peter's soul. He has been able to know. So he already know that Peter is under the control of Satan as at that moment. Yeah, but he had prayed for him that when he fell, when he falls, he will be able to rise back. Because we have people that when they fall, they could not rise back. They remain in that falling state for years. Yeah. So the prayers of Jesus was to help Peter rise after he would have fallen. Yeah, because there was nothing much Jesus could do for him at that time. Yeah, because he was so confident in his flesh. He was so full of himself. He was so confident that he would not deny Jesus under any circumstance. But we know what happened. He eventually denied Jesus. If you read from verse 56 of the same chapter, Luke 22, if you read verse 56 to 62, verse 56 to 62, you will see how he fell eventually, how Peter denied Jesus eventually, and how he was able to rise back from that fallen state. Yeah, so sometimes there is not much we can do for people to stop them from falling. Yeah, but we can pray that after they have fallen, they will rise back. Yeah, because there's the way Satan or demons can capture the soul and mind of people to the point that everything that person or those people will be thinking is just what Satan wants them to think. Everything they will be thinking is just what Satan wants them to think. And all the decisions and determinations and choices they make is just exactly what the demons want them to, you know, to do. Yeah. So at that point, sometimes when you counsel those people and say, this thing you're talking about, that's not how it is. Look at it this way. Don't try to do it. You'll be surprised that they will not even listen to you. Yeah, or you try to tell them, this is not the Bible way. This is not what the Bible says. This is not how you should behave. This is not how you should handle this situation. And you kept on persuading and advising them and instructing them. You'll be surprised that they will never do what you say. In fact, it would appear as if they were not even hearing what you are saying. Yeah, because they are under demonic possession and control. Yeah, so every preaching and sermon and advice and counsel you try to give them, it will just not work. Because their minds have been captured. Their souls have been captured. And it is what devil want them to think that they think. It is what devil want them to see that they see. Yeah, so sometimes the only thing you can do for such people is to pray for them, just as Jesus said in that place in verse 32, Luke 22, verse 32, Jesus said, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." Yeah, so Jesus prayed for Peter, and that prayer worked because Peter rose back after he fell. So sometimes what we should do for such people is to pray for them. And they pray, and our prayer can even stop them from falling or bring them back after they have fallen. Yeah. Yeah. Let's look at another scripture. First John chapter 3. First John chapter 3 verse 8. First John 3, 8. He that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, some people have argued that a Christian cannot be possessed by demons. Yeah, they have argued. How can you say that a Christian can be possessed by demons? How can a Christian that have the Holy Spirit in him or her still have demons in him or her? How can you say such a blasphemy and heresy? Yeah, I believe those people, they don't know the scriptures. That is why they say that Christians cannot be possessed. Or maybe they don't know the realm of darkness, the realm of sin, the realm of the flesh. So they don't really know the realm of the spirit. So that was why, that is why they speak like that. Yeah, if you look at this verse I just read in 1 John chapter 3 verse 8, it says, "He that committed sin is of the devil." Now, the word "committed" there is a present continuous verb, like commits. So which means he that keep on sinning. Anyone that have made sinning an habit. Anyone that practice sinning, I'm talking about sin as a whole. So it includes any kind of sin, including lying, telling lies, or stealing, or pride, or hunger, or hatred, or bitterness, whatever kind of sin, anyone that continue to sin, yeah, because you have made sin a practice and habit, the Bible says that that person belongs to the devil. Now, this is the Bible, it's not me that writes it. Yeah, the Bible says that person belongs to the devil. Now, what does belong to devil means? Like, if you have a bag in your room and somebody come and say, who owns this bag? And what will you say? You say, oh, it's mine. It belongs to me. Yeah. So, is that not what it means? That he that committed sin is of the devil. So it means such kind of person belongs to the devil. Which means devil can do what he wants with that person. Anything he wants. So it doesn't matter whether the person is an apostle or is a prophet or is a, you know, general overseer or is a highly anointed person. The Bible says, he that committed sin is of the devil. That's it. Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing to add and there's nothing to subtract. It's just like that. That is it. That is the truth. He that committed sin is of the devil. So which means that anyone that commits sin will be, not can be, will be possessed and controlled by demons. Anyone that commits sin. Yeah, especially those that they have made it a habit. So there is no genuine repentance in their lives. Now, I want you to also take note of this. You can repent of lying and not repent of hatred. So don't say, because I don't sleep with another man's wife, I don't sleep with another man's husband, I'm not a fornicator, so I'm clean. You're not clean. If you don't do those things, but you still tell lies, you still have pride, you still have anger, you still, what else? You still do any other sin, you are still of the devil. Yeah. Yeah, because some Christians, they're only sensitive to how towards sins. What about the sins inside you? The sins you do with your mind. Those lustful thoughts. Yeah. So, whoever commits sin and have failed to repent of that sin, to stop committing that sin, that person will be possessed and controlled by demons. Yeah. I believe you all understand now. Yeah. Now, let me also say this. Though I have said it before, but for some of you that might have forgotten, yeah, because Christians forget important things a lot these days. Yeah. So maybe you might have forgotten or you were not connected to the platform when I said those things. Yeah. I remember I said that demonic possession does not mean that a demon has to stay inside you. Like what those people will say, that how can you say Christian who have the Holy Spirit in him or her, we also have demons in him or her. The reality or the truth about demonic possession is beyond a demon staying inside somebody. Yeah. So a person can be possessed and not have demons in them, as in like literally in them. Though the demons, of course, are in them. I will explain. But not like literally inside them. Yeah. In fact, those demons that used to enter inside people and stay there, they are lesser demons. They are lesser demons or low-class demons. The high-class demons, they don't have to enter into you to possess you and control you. Yeah, I'm talking about principalities and powers of darkness. They don't need to enter into people to possess them. Yeah, because they deal with the realm of the mind. The realm of your emotions. The realm of your feelings. That is what they deal with. The realm that determines what people think, what people say, what people feel, and what people do. Yeah, that is the realm they control, the principalities. Yeah, so all they need to do is just to capture your mind, your emotions, your feelings, your thoughts. That's all they need to do. So once they're able to capture that, they will be able to successfully determine what you think. I mean, they will give you what to think, and you will think exactly what they want you to think. Yeah, they will make you go where they want you to go, and you will just stand up from your house or from wherever you were and go to that place they want you to go. So they will make you mingle with the kind of people they want you to mingle with, and you will pick up your phone and begin to call people you are not supposed to call. And if you even find yourself saying things you're not supposed to say. Yeah, that is demonic possession. And that is demonic control. Yeah. That is demonic control. Remember a place in the scripture where Jesus was talking about how he would suffer and die. Yeah, you remember the response of Peter? Yeah, immediately Jesus said that, Peter began to say, no, you can't suffer, you can't die. Peter began to forbid him that, no, don't say this, these are negative things. What did Jesus say to react to the actions of Peter? Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Because at that moment, it was not Peter talking. It was Satan talking. So that is demonic possession. Yeah. That is demonic control. It wasn't Peter talking anymore. Yeah, because whatever Peter was saying at that time is against the will of God. So Jesus did not say, get behind me, Peter. Stop telling me that. Jesus addressed the demon immediately. He said, get behind me, Satan. Yeah. So you must be sensitive to demonic possession in people. Demonic control in people. So you must know when it is demons speaking through people to you. Yeah. And you must not yield to whatever they are saying or advice, or whatever advice they are giving you, or whatever counsel, or whatever suggestions. Since you know that this is not the will of God for my life. So you must be able to say no, either verbally or quietly in your mind. Yeah, because there are some people that I know if I shut them down verbally, they might feel like I hate them. Yeah. Yeah, so I know they have that weakness. If I just shut them down and say, no, don't tell me that. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Yeah, they might feel like I hate them all. They might feel so offended. It's not as if I don't want them to feel offended, but you know, some people, their spiritual life is weak. They are weak in spirit because they have not grown spiritually. Yeah, so if you just, if you react to some things they do, in a strong way, it might make them fall back into darkness. Yeah. So sometimes when I'm talking to some, and when some people are talking to me, things that I know is not them, is the devil talking through them. So what I do is just I reject in my mind, and I'll just say okay. I'll just kind of nod my head and say, okay, I've heard, or I've hear you, or I've heard you, or I hear you. But it doesn't mean I agree with what they say, because eventually they would not see me do what they say. Yeah, eventually they would not see me do what they say. Yeah, because that confirms that I don't agree with what they say. But I might not verbally oppose them at that moment. But I know it's not them talking that is the devil. Yeah. So you must be able to discern demonic possession in people. You must be able to discern demonic control in people. Yeah. When we talk about demons, some people feel like, how can you say such disgusting creatures? Those creatures with horns, those disgusting creatures, how can you say they are living inside me? How can you say I need deliverance from demons? Yeah, it's because they are ignorant of the realities of the spiritual realm. Demons how will I put it now? Demons don't look disgusting. Yeah, I want you to hear me very, very carefully. Demons don't look disgusting. Yeah, they don't look disgusting. Why? Because how should I put it? Yeah, because they make people do what doesn't look disgusting. Yeah, so then how can you say that they look disgusting? For instance, a man that is committing sexual sin, when he's enjoying the sex, does the sex look disgusting to him? Of course not. He's enjoying himself. Yes. Then how can you say that demons look disgusting when they make you do things that don't look disgusting to you? Of course, to a man of holiness, a man of purity, anything that is sinful and dark looks disgusting and irritating. Yeah, but not to a man that is in the flesh. Not to a man that is under the control of the flesh. So they will not look disgusting in your life. They will never look disgusting to you. Yeah, because they work with the cravings in your body. Yeah. That is what demons work with. The sinful cravings, the sinful desires in you. That is what demons and Satan work with. Yeah, and that is why they will never tempt you beyond what you are craving for inside, from inside your heart. Yeah. Satan won't tempt you beyond that. Beyond what is in your sinful nature, what is in your flesh. Yeah, so if we enjoy all these sinful things we do in our body and with our bodies, and while we are enjoying them, we don't call them disgusting. Then why do we refer to demons as disgusting? I don't know if you are getting my point. When you are enjoying sin, it doesn't look disgusting. And now we tell you that you need deliverance from demons because of you're possessed by demons. And that is when you say, can you tell me that those disgusting creatures are living inside me? Let us stop deceiving ourselves. Yeah. Let us stop deceiving ourselves. So when you know that you are in sin, humble yourself and repent. Yeah, humble yourself, repent, and go to Jesus for deliverance. Pray for deliverance. Not that you are feeling like, how can you say, there was a time I was talking to a sister. I said, all these things you have mentioned to me, I can discern that you have spiritual spouse. You have marine spirits in you. You have spiritual spouse, spiritual husband. And you must be delivered. Her response was very shocking. She was like, how can you of all people tell me that I have spiritual spouse, spiritual husband? I have marine spirit. What kind of, I can't remember her exact words, but it was like, what kind of nonsense is that? Things like that. Yeah. So don't fool yourself. Repent. And stop doing the things that is opening door for demons to possess and control you. And so that when you pray for deliverance, the prayer will be answered. If you continue to sin and you think your prayer for deliverance will be answered, it will not. Yeah, the greatest deliverance is to stop sinning. When you stop sinning, then there will be no door for demons to enter into your life again. I pray that the Lord will make you wise. Let us also look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 27. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. That is, don't give place to the devil. So when you give place to the devil, you'll be possessed and controlled by them. Yeah, let me give you some examples. Let's say you are in a conversation with someone, and at a point in the conversation or in the discussion, you notice that devil is about to come in. Yeah, you notice that the conversation is about to lead into anger. The conversation is about to lead into a fight, into a conflict. As a wise Christian, the next thing to do is to shut down that conversation. Yeah. So even if you have to look like a fool to the person, it's better to do that than to give place to the devil. So you can already feel that if this discussion continues in this way it's going, I will be provoked to anger. The best thing is to just suspend the discussion and withdraw from the discussion. That is how to avoid demonic possession and control. Yeah, because if you still continue, I need to show this person, you can't just talk to me like that. The next thing is, you'll be possessed by demons. And you will not know when you get angry. And then fight comes in, quarreling. Yeah. So, that's an example. Another one is, you can sense that somebody close to you does not really like you. You can sense that the person really has some bitterness or hatred against you for no reason. Yeah, you're not supposed to, you know, get close to the person to the point that he or she will now express that bitterness. Are you supposed to maybe just greet the person and then go your way? Even if the person doesn't greet you back. Yeah, until maybe the person's heart or mind changes. Yeah, so since you could discern that this person has some things against me, then don't press the button that will make that person express whatever he or she is thinking or cooking up in his mind or in her mind against you. The same thing applies to a man that already knows that a lady has feelings for him. That a lady have some, a lady have lustful desires for him. Yeah, because there's a way you will know as a man. There's a way you will know when the opposite sex have lustful desire, lustful cravings for you. So now that God has helped you to know that, then you have to avoid close contact with that person. In fact, avoid talking to that person often. Yeah. You might just maybe talk to the person, and that is maybe because you cannot avoid the person completely. You might just resolve to talking to the person maybe once in a week or once in 2 weeks. because you can already discern that this person has lustful desires for me. This person wants me to sleep with him or her. Yeah. So the moment you can discern that, whether as a man or as a woman, begin to draw back. Yeah, so that is how you will not give place to the devil. But we have some very foolish Christians. They already know. Even some so-called Christian sisters, they already know that this pastor has feelings for me. Yeah. They already know that this brother have feelings for me, because, you know, with the way he looks at me, with the way he talks to me, and then they now kept on, you know, drawing closer to the pastor, or drawing closer to the brother, yeah, and then eventually they fell into fornication or adultery. Yeah, that is foolishness. Yeah, it is foolishness. So we must not give place to the devil. That is if you actually want to make heaven. Because I know we have some Christians that don't actually want to make heaven. And I don't waste my time on those kind of Christians. Because they don't actually want to make heaven. But if you want to make heaven, then you must take heed to these things I am saying. Yeah. Be wise. Be wise. Let us also read Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16-17. Galatians 5:16-17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Let me read from New Living Translation. Galatians 5. 16-17. Galatians 5:16-17. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Yeah, he said these two forces are constantly fighting each other. And we know those two forces. The forces of righteousness and the forces of sin. The forces of light and the forces of darkness. So inside your body, they are fighting. Always fighting. In your mind, they are always fighting. In your soul, they are always fighting. in your spirit, they're always fighting. Yeah, so one wants to have his way. The other also wants to have his way. Yeah. So, the Bible says, you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But you can actually carry out your good intentions if you let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. If you let the Holy Spirit rule your life. Yeah. At this point, I will also show you something I have said before. I mean I'll repeat it, but I've said it before. I noticed that Christians don't really know how the Holy Spirit fills them. Yeah, and I think that's why some don't agree that Christians can be possessed and controlled by demons. I believe it's because they don't even understand how the Holy Spirit fills them. If we understand how the Holy Spirit fills us, then we'll be able to agree that demons can also fill us and use us. If we understand how the Holy Spirit fills us. So that is why I want to describe that to you. Now. I know some of you might have thought that the Holy Spirit fills you by coming inside you, by entering into you. And that is true, but it's more than that. Yeah. Actually, the Holy Spirit fills you by, let me say, by bringing you into Him. Yeah, it's just like when you take a piece of clothes and then you throw that piece of cloth into a bucket full of water or into a bowl full of water. You take a piece of cloth, like maybe a handkerchief, and then you throw that cloth into a bowl or bucket full of water. You know, eventually the cloth will be soaked by the water. Yeah, so that is how the Holy Spirit fills us. Yeah, so he brings us into Him. And you know, eventually, we can see that the water is inside the clothes, even just as the clothes is inside the water. So it is true that the Holy Spirit is in us. Yeah, that is true. That the Holy Spirit is in us. Yeah, but how is in us is not like you are standing and then something enter into you. It's more than that. Yeah, it is like you are being absorbed. Yeah, it is like you are being absorbed. Just like a piece of cloth is absorbed into a bucket full of water. So it's like you are being absorbed into the Holy Spirit. So that is how He fills you. Yeah. Now, the Holy Spirit is too great to just stay inside you. He's too big to just stay inside you like that. Yeah. So the best way to explain it is that you are being brought into Him. And then He fills you because you are in Him. Yeah, you have been brought into Him. And then it's just like a cloth enter into the water, and then we know now that that cloth is filled with water because the cloth has been absorbed into that water. So that is how the Holy Spirit fills us. Not like he comes in and then enter into you. No. It is like he brought us into himself, and that is how he entered into us. He enters into us by bringing us into himself. I hope you get that. So in so doing, he can bring as many people into himself. Yeah, because he's so big and so great. So anyone that wants him, he can bring them into himself. Come upon them, bring them into himself. Come upon them, bring them into himself, wherever they are in the world. So that is how the Holy Spirit fills us. So now, why am I saying this? This also implies that you can limit how much the Holy Spirit fills you and controls you. Since the Holy Spirit will not override your will, the Holy Spirit will not force you to do what you don't want to do. So it means that we can decide how much of us is in that water. Yeah, you can decide how much of you is in the Holy Spirit. And how much of you is filled with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit can just fill a part of you that you have yielded to him. Or a part of your life you have yielded to him. You have surrendered to him. Given to him, and he will control that part of your life. So the other parts of your life, if you refuse to yield other parts of your life, demons will control that part. Yeah. And he's the same person, like the same you is being controlled by the Holy Spirit in some areas. And then still being controlled by demons in some other areas. Yeah, why? Because you did not fully yield to the Holy Spirit. I hope you understand. Yeah, so which means that you can have the Holy Spirit and also have demons at the same time. So which some Bible scholars and theologians don't want to agree with that. But with the way I've explained now, can see that it is possible for you to be in the Holy Spirit and in darkness at the same time. Yeah, because the Holy Spirit will only fill the part of your life you have surrendered. So if you refuse to give the other part, the Holy Spirit will not touch those areas. He will not even talk about those areas of your life. Since you have not handed it over to him. Yeah. So which means devil can control the other parts. Yeah. So all the questions people usually ask me, like you say it is wrong for women to wear trousers, wrong for women to use jewelries, false beauty elements, false hair attachments, hair extensions, artificial beauty, cosmetic beauty, and all of that. So they will tell me that you say all of that is wrong and is a sin. Then they will tell me, what about all these women preachers, and yet they have the anointing. God is using them. What about them? They wear trousers. They use all these things you said women should not use, and yet God is speaking to them. God is speaking through them. God is using them. Yeah, what about that? Why is God using them if they are in darkness. I think you now understand why God is using and why they are still being used by God. With what I have explained just now, I believe you now understand. So God is using that part of them they have surrendered to Him. That part of their lives they have surrendered. That is the one God is using. The rest that they have not surrendered, God have no business with that, with those rest. So it is the rest that we see in their dressings and all of that. And then the other ones that they move in the anointing is because there's a part of them they have surrendered to God. I hope you now understand. For those of you that might still be confused, so which means we will have a lot of these preachers in hellfire. Why? Because anyone who have not completely surrendered to the Lord, to the Holy Spirit, cannot make heaven. It's not possible. You can't make heaven with 99% light or 99% righteousness. You can't. It must be 100%. 100%. Yeah, so you can't be maybe 80% in the light and 20% in darkness and think you'll make it when it's not possible. So that is why we are going to see a lot of these ministers in hellfire. Yeah, so now, as I round off the teaching, I think there's a question here. Was the control of Peter by Satan as a result of his lack of faith? Well, I would say that it was because of spiritual immaturity. Yeah, you know, so at that time, they were just born again. All of them, they were just like converted. I mean, all the disciples, they were not yet sanctified. There's a difference between salvation and sanctification. Yeah, salvation is just when you have publicly professed and confessed Jesus, and you have publicly surrender to Jesus, which immediately will put an end to all outward sin. So at the level of salvation, when you surrender your life to Christ, then the first thing that happens is you stop committing outward sins like stealing, lying, what else? Watching pornography, fornication, adultery, masturbation, all those outward sins, you stop committing them. Yeah, but that doesn't mean you're already dead. That doesn't mean you already have victory. Yeah, there's another experience called sanctification. That one happened after, you know, through much prayers and self-denial. Yeah, through much prayers and self-denial. And when I say prayers, I'm talking about you praying that God should destroy the nature of sin in you. God should uproot the atomic nature. God should destroy the flesh in you. Or maybe I should put it this way. That God should put your flesh under your feet. Yeah, such that you are able to subdue the desires and the lusts of the flesh. Yes, which we know that willpower alone cannot subdue the flesh. You and I know that. That you just having a strong willpower, I don't want to do this, That alone cannot stop you the flesh. So that there's an impartation from heaven, an empowerment from heaven, a deliverance from heaven, a transformation from heaven. And that is what I call sanctification, or what the Bible called sanctification. So that intervention from heaven that destroys the power of sin in your soul, or the power of the sinful nature in your soul, that is what Peter did not have at that time. So Peter did not have sanctification. He only had salvation. So the power of sin in his human nature, in his Adamic nature, was stronger than him. Yeah. So he has not gotten that deliverance yet. So that was why Satan was able to control him through his Adamic nature. Yeah. Because all of the things he did were inspired by the flesh. Yeah. So he has not yet gotten that power to subdue the flesh. So which I believe later he got it. So that was what made him, that was what made devil to control him. Also, okay, the next thing the next question you said, also on sin. Some people say our sins have been forgiven and washed away at the cross, so they don't have anything to repent or continue repenting. They now have righteousness of Christ. Of course, Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, and that blood shed on the cross, you know, has washed away our sins. His death on the cross has destroyed the power of our flesh, and then his resurrection from the grave give us the power to live a new life that is different from the life we had been living before. Now, all these things, they are true. Yeah, but they are not, I don't know how to put it. They are not given like that. We should not take them as for granted, like it's just given without we doing the works that would put us in those realms of victories Jesus already gave us. Yeah, those things have been given, but they are not just given like that. You have to, you know, there was a place that John the Baptist was preaching. He said, you people should produce fruits meet for repentance. Yeah, that means you should show life, you should show with your life that you have really repented. Yeah, so these things that Jesus has done for us, they will work when we have done what is required for them to work. Yeah, and for them to continue working. So they don't just, you don't just have it like that. They belong to the realm of the light. So we must leave the realm of darkness. Then we have them. They are not just for everyone, but they are for everyone that would come out of their sinful ways. I don't know if you're getting the point. So it is true that our sins have been forgiven. Our sins have been washed away. It is true that our flesh has been killed on the cross of Calvary. But you ask yourself, I mean, let us ask ourselves, do our flesh have been killed on the cross of Calvary? But then why are you still feeling angry? Why do you still get angry when our flesh has been killed on the cross of Calvary? Why do you still have lust? Why are you still having lustful thoughts in your mind? Do our flesh have been killed on the cross of Calvary? Then why even our sicknesses have been destroyed on the cross of Calvary? Then why are we still sick and weak? Yeah. Why do we still have that urge to sin, even though the flesh has been killed on the cross of Calvary? So it shows that the things Jesus did are not just given like that, though they have been given. But we have a duty to do to find ourselves in those realms of victories Jesus already gave us. Yeah, we have a lot of repentance to do. We have a lot of prayers to pray, fasting to do. Yeah, we have a lot of self-denial to do. So the grace of God will not work if you have not deliberately begin to die to self, begin to crucify the desires of sin in your body. If you don't do that, all those grace Jesus gave us through everything he did on the cross, they will not work at all. Yeah, so God is not a fool. Yeah, God knows that people are not robots. The people he created, they are not robots. He knows that the people he created, they have ability to make choices. Yeah, they have willpower, power to choose and to make decisions. And God will not take that from us. Yeah. So God wants us to choose. It's not like he's saying, I have placed before you light, life and death, light and darkness. Choose light. Choose life. Yeah. So in the process of choosing, that is when we'll be free. But if you just sit down in darkness and then you sit down in sin, and then you say, oh, Jesus, I've done that on the cross. And then you are still committing sin. You are saying, Jesus has forgiven that sin on the cross. That person is going to hell for real. Yeah. So the Bible is not, the Bible is a book of realities. Yeah. So which means that it's a book of experiences. So you have to experience every bit of what Jesus has done for you on the cross of Calvary. So it's not just that my sins have been forgiven on the cross, and then you go to beer parlor and then you start drinking alcohol. You go to brothels, start sleeping with prostitutes. Oh, my sin, I've been forgiven on the cross of Calvary. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. Yeah. We must come out of darkness, repent, and then we will now see ourselves in those realms. Then you will now see yourself in a realm where you don't fall sick anymore. You now see yourself in the realm where you don't even feel to commit sin anymore. That is when we know that the power of the resurrection of Jesus, the power of the death of Jesus, the power of the blood of Jesus has worked in your life. When you no longer feel to sin anymore, then you have been delivered. Yeah, but you will not just get there by just sitting down. You have a lot to do to get there. Yeah. So those rhymes of victories that Jesus gave us through what he did on the cross, they don't just receive you like that. You have to fight battles, do a lot of repentance to get there. It's not even possible for you to have those realms inside sin while you're still in sin, while you're still in darkness. It's not possible. Yeah, so I hope I've answered your question. Let us pray. Don't forget, you can always ask questions on our Telegram platform. Yeah, and I will answer by the grace of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because you are so faithful. Thank you for these truths you have shown us in the scriptures and by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for showing us how we ought to live a very separated and consecrated life. Thank you, Lord, for showing us how we ought to be very watchful and careful with the way we live our lives so that we won't give place to the devil, and so that we won't be possessed and controlled by demons and forces of darkness. Thank you for showing us these things. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that as many who are willing to follow the details of this teaching, O Lord, give them grace. Give them strength. Give them power to overcome all darkness and to be able to discern these operations of darkness in people around them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.